Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Lashing out at troubled actress Lindsay Lohan in a shocking tirade.
I would smack her in the mouth. I'd be arrested for abusing a woman.
What would you say to her?
I would say you deserve this and nothing else. Whack! And then, if she's not satisfied, I'd put her over my knee and spank her.
And just listen to his opinion of Paris Hilton.
The same thing with Paris Hilton. Those children are begging for help. What, please help me?
Ever the entertainer, Jerry hammed it up for our cameras, but he clearly has no patience for the wild child stars of today.
They have an intelligence of a box of rocks. Over the mountain.
Good for you, Jerry. Good for you, Jerry. You're finally pulling it out of the hat again. I guess that's before the Labor Day Jerry Lewis telethon. He would raise some money if he could actually do that on air. Could you imagine him spanking Lindsay Lohan on air? All right, we looked at that. So here's the thing. You remember I said it's a new format in the Savage Nation beginning Friday. We had a different thing every day last Monday. Wednesday we did finance. We had Santelli on. I thought it was a great show. Yesterday was the all-star of all-star shows. I reintroduced my background in nutrition. We did a nutrition and health segment, and I showed you how political health is. So today I promised you I would do something biblical. I immediately, your hands reaching for the dial, because many of you detest religion and you hate God. Now, it is true many of you love religion and love God, but the majority of Americans hate religion and hate God, which is why America is in such trouble in the minds of those who actually love God and believe in religion. Now, I'm going to begin by saying to you, there was a writer in England, from England, named Oscar Wilde, who said the only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. Oscar Wilde wrote, "I can resist everything but temptation." So I thought about that today as I was on the way to the studio, and I realized that virtually everything about any religion is about temptation and resisting it. Doesn't matter what your religion is. It's don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that, and those things that you should do are all to keep you from what you shouldn't do. And so therefore, all of religion can be boiled down to resisting temptation. So then I started to think, what is temptation? You know, you say the word temptation. Immediately, what comes to your mind? Oh, that chocolate looks tempting. That ice cream looks tempting. The pizza looks tempting. That whatever looks tempting. So what is it? It's the act of tempting, or the state of being tempted, especially to evil. Enticement, right? Tempt, to entice to do wrong by promise of pleasure or gain. All of America is driven by temptation. There's virtually not a business on earth that does well, in this country rather, that isn't built upon temptation. So I ask you, this is an interesting question. Should all of society grind to a halt because we sublimate all of our temptations? Now, without getting too moralistic and preachy, I thought it's an interesting topic, and I'll bring it right back to politics, I assure you. All you have to do is open a newspaper. Well, I shouldn't say open a newspaper because there's nothing in there to indicate what the Muslims are doing, for example, around the world or in Paris, where Muslims are blocking streets totally illegally, holding prayer sessions, blocking streets, locking residents in their homes, not letting them out to show that they've taken over a new territory in Paris. This is religion, and this is where the religion, where religion and politics intersect. Now, of course, it's happening in this country as well. The Ground Zero Mosque is an intersection between the politics of radical Islam, using religion as a Trojan horse to plant the flag of radical Islam at Ground Zero. That's how the majority of Americans see it, irrespective of what Mayor Dumberg has to say about it. So let's put aside all the political stuff, and I'll ask you a question, since I promised you a delivery today. Do you actually believe in God? And if you do, how do you know God exists, or is it just blind faith? Or if you're an atheist, why don't you believe in anything? How do you know he doesn't exist? Or why have you lost faith in God? Or what caused you to turn to God? Or are you a former atheist who came to believe in God? What made you change? Now, if this doesn't work, we'll do general politics today on the Savage Nation. But I did promise a reading from the Bible, and I'm actually going to have to fulfill my promise for fear of retribution from the higher powers. Because if you promise a thing like this and you don't deliver, this is a real big promise. So I thought I'd read a small piece of the Bible for you. For those of you who don't believe in the Bible, you may find it interesting poetry, or you can turn the show off and go listen to some salacious, verminous lies if you wish, or pornography, whatever you want. I'm going to read you something, and I'll bet you'll find it interesting. And where I'm picking this from is one of the five books of Moses. This one is called Deuteronomy. Many of you don't even know what the five books of Moses are. But the Jewish people call the five books of Moses the Holy Scriptures. That's known as the Old Testament. What is the Old Testament? Well, that is the five, though, that refers to the five books of Moses: Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. So we'll keep it simple. The Old Testament has a reading every week. Orthodox Jews go to the temple every day, but once a week they read the portion of the Bible, the portion of the Torah that comes up. And this week, the portion that comes up is a rather long one about Moses speaking to the people of Israel, right? And here's one that comes from Deuteronomy. He says, are you ready for this? For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swore unto their fathers, flowing with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten their fill and waxen fat, and turned unto other gods and served them, and despised me and broken my covenant, then it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are come upon them, that this song shall testify before them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of their mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination, how they do it even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swore. What is this about? Well, listen to this. You've heard about the land of milk and honey, haven't you? America was once a land of milk and honey. For some, it is still a land of milk and honey. For those who come from the third world, it is still a land of milk and honey. You may think that they don't do well here, but the poorest person from the third world lives better than most of the rich people do in his own country. And so it is still a land of milk and honey, despite what the vermin on the left say to you. And so God said, when I shall have brought them into the land which I swore unto their fathers, flowing with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten their fill and waxen fat, and turned unto other gods and served them, and despised me, and broken my covenant, then it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are come upon them, that this song shall testify before them as a witness. So God gets mad. God says, I brought you into the land of milk and honey. You got fat on the milk and honey, and then you turned to other gods. You started to worship idols again. And so Moses is telling the people this story, wherever he may be telling the story. And then Moses says to them, for I know that after my death, you will become corrupted and deviate from the way which I had commanded you. Consequently, the evil will befall you at the end of days, because you did evil in the eyes of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. Now, let's stop right there. For many of you who are highly educated, you think this is nonsense. You think that this stuff was written for ancient olive growers who didn't go to Harvard. Stupid ancient Israelites who simply raised olives, beat their wives, and made war with each other. For those of you who do believe in the spoken word of God through man, it's very real, because you could say that's a politically true statement. Here we have a land of milk and honey that is being destroyed right before our eyes because of turning to other gods. I mean, a religious person would actually see this enacted in front of his eyes as though it's real. We see a nation that is bowing down to false idols at every turn. Everywhere you turn, the false idols are held up in a tempting way, and people fall before them. I mean, I don't have to tell you any of that. So I want to ask you something. I had a show like this once before, many years ago, and a man called me up. He was Jewish, who lost all his relatives to the Nazis in the Holocaust. And he said to me in a thick accent, he said, Michael, you're an educated man. How could you believe in a phantom in the sky when he let a thing like that happen? I've heard that before. I've heard it all. I've heard everything. I've heard every atheistic argument. I've heard every religious argument there is to be said. I've heard it all. And I'm not going to share with you what my beliefs are. I think you pretty much know where I'm coming from. I have almost a childish view that there is a supernatural force that we call God who created all of this, and we go and see him at the end of the road, and we have to account for our life. And all I can tell you is that in evaluating my own life, at the end of the day, I'm not asking you to judge me. I'll let God judge me. I'll tell you what I saw in a fortune cookie last week. It said your virtues outweigh your faults. You know what? That's become a mantra. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Devil or angel, I can't make up my mind. Which one you are, I'd like to wake up and ride. Devil or angel.
All right, so it's, you know, it's a Friday before Labor Day. Normal people are not thinking about God. They're thinking about beer and barbecue and whatever, water skiing, whatever people do. I have no idea. Gidget goes Hawaii. Gidget does Hawaii. What are people do what they do. You know, they want to have a good time. If you're if you're that way, that's what you do. All right. So you got Mark Twain, born in 1835 when Halley's Comet appeared. And he predicted he would die when Halley's Comet next appeared. And he died April 21st, 1910, 75 years later to the day of Halley's Comet, he died. It's amazing when you think about it. Samuel Langhorne Clemens was his real name, and Mark Twain was his nom de plume, his writer's name. And it's interesting, his nom de plume. I came up with a statement called, for radio, a nom de voix. No one even understands what I have actually done. I invented this years ago. It seems that we live in such an illiterate nation that no one even heard me. We heard of nom de plume, where an author comes up with a name for the writing. That's different than there. Let's put it this way. In other words, if you were to buy a book, Mark Twain would sell, even when he started, it would be more appealing as a marketing tool than Samuel Langhorne Clemens. So my producer, Beowulf, said he got his name Mark Twain. I said, how do you get a name like that? He said when he was a worker on a riverboat in the Mississippi, every time they would mark the depth at 2 fathoms, the men would call out, Mark Twain. So he called himself Mark Twain. So I've come up with a name for people in radio who use radio names called nom de voix, voice name. Of course, no one seems to have heard me because they think apparently conservatives can't think and we have no literacy. But anyway, let's go back to what I'm talking about, which is God. Does he exist? Doesn't he exist? Why does he exist for you? Why doesn't he exist? I mean, do you really think about these things? I think about it all the time. I don't think a day goes by that I don't think about it from morning till night. I don't know how a conscious person can't think about this. I don't understand how a person can even live without thinking about it. Now, let's say you're a person who says there can't be a God. Well, then what do you believe in? Tell me what you believe in. Stephen Hawking's? You believe in National Geographic? Every night now they're scaring you with a comet attack. You know, they've gotten so psycho on the National Geo channel. It used to be pretty good. They're into such fear-mongering. Every show, we're going to be hit by meteors and comets, wipe out Earth, look when the dinosaurs... It's like Al Gore is the producer for some reason. I'm sick and tired of hearing it already, about the meteor death of the Earth. Nothing but fear, that's all they sell. So let's go to you to call. Tim in Houston, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, what's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, how are you doing today?
Good.
Just wanted to say that I am an agnostic, but I actually believe there is a God, but... If I ever, you know, death comes to me and I found out that, you know, God actually wasn't a real thing, I guess I wouldn't be completely unhinged like a lot of people. My main problem is to believe in organized religion. You have to believe that every other religion is wrong. And anybody that doesn't believe, you know, say you're a Christian, then you have to believe that every Muslim's going to hell. And it's just a very unsettling thought to think that just anybody that doesn't agree with you exactly deserves to burn the rest of their lives, and it's just very unsettling to me.
So what is an agnostic as opposed to an atheist? An atheist doesn't believe in God. An agnostic hedges his bet?
Yeah, basically, you're a nature guy. You can look around you. It's pretty obvious to me that, you know, something designed the math and just everything. Life isn't an accident. So I think that definitely somebody made us. But I think that organized religion has basically just been hijacked by man.
Well, I've met people who are very big believers in God and the hereafter, but they don't believe in organized religion. They don't like it because they feel it's just a way of milking the public for money. You know, mulcting the public is the correct word. M-U-L-C-T-I-N-G, not milking. It's mulcting, which is almost the same thing. But I thank you for the agnostic call. Here's an interesting call out of New York. Bernie, W-O-R, go ahead, please. What were you going to say about Oscar Wilde?
Yeah, hi, Michael. You might be interested to know that Oscar Wilde actually converted to Roman Catholicism on his deathbed. That's not really widely published.
I didn't know that. And, I didn't know that at all. You know, no, it's interesting. I think a lot of people suddenly see things differently when they're dying.
I'll say. During his 2 years in jail, I mean, you can imagine a guy like Oscar Wilde, an upper-class, somewhat of a fop, even though he was a great intellectual, had a chance to think about his life, and he wrote what's probably his greatest work, De Profundis. In Latin means out of the depths, which is from the Old Testament. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my prayer. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah. So do you, let me ask you, Bernie, and everyone else listening to the show, do you feel doing a little religion on Friday is a bad idea, decent idea, good idea?
Well, I think it's a great idea, and if nobody likes it, too bad. I mean, you're doing the right thing.
Well, no one can measure the size of audiences precisely anymore, and so I have to go with my gut instinct, and I think that a variety show is a better show than a mono show that's all about Obama's destroying America. Believe me, we get that all day long. It's been written about in my books, from Liberalism as a Mental Disorder to the new one, Trickle Up Poverty. So we'll have plenty of time for that. But until we get there, I still think it's interesting to talk about bigger topics on these public airwaves called radio. Let's not forget what we're doing here on the show. We're now talking about, does God exist? I did a reading from the Bible, and I've called you to ask you, are you a believer, a non-believer, and why? I think it's interesting. I'll do it for another segment or so.
Savage.
Somewhere beyond the sea.
So here we are. Okay, it's a Friday before Labor Day. People basically want to have a good time. They want to forget the cares of the world, get the last days of summer, a barbecue, or this or that. People are coming, people are going, swimming, I don't know, whatever people do. I'll try to go out on the boat tomorrow after a month of being laid up in a dry dock. Try to grab a little of the feelings, right, of carefreeness from our youth, to put it to you that way. So, who really wants to think about God and eternity and whether he exists? American satirist and writer Mark Twain was born, as I told you, on November 30th, 1835, which was exactly 2 weeks after the Halley's Comet's perihelion. And then in his autobiography published in 1909, Mark Twain said, I came in with Halley's Comet in 1835. It is coming again next year, and I expect to go out with it. It will be the greatest disappointment of my life if I don't go out with Halley's Comet. The Almighty has said, no doubt, now here are these two unaccountable freaks. They came in together, they must go out together. And Twain died 21 of April, 1910, the day following the comet's subsequent perihelion. That's neither here nor there, but it's a fact that I thought I would share with you. So if you want to talk about this, now I want to ask you something else. The Bible's a very complicated book. It's not just about resisting temptation. There are a lot of prohibitions in the Bible, particularly for religious Jews who can't eat certain foods. Certain kosher foods you can eat, non-kosher food you can't eat, certain animals you can eat, certain animals you can't eat. It's extremely complicated. I don't know if you people know it. The average person, if they're at all religious, tries to follow the Ten Commandments, which unto itself is very hard when you consider what's in there. The Orthodox Jew has to follow 313 commandments or 330-some-odd commandments. Who can do all of that? Who can remember all of that? And so you look at the religion of Islam, and the Muslim has many of the same prohibitions as the Orthodox Jew does. So I'll make it simple. For example, the Orthodox Jew won't eat pork or pig, and the Muslim won't eat pork or pig. Why? Because if you look at Leviticus 11, there's a whole list of foods you can, animals you can eat and animals you can't eat. I can't read every one of them, but it's really, it runs for two pages. Can you believe it? These are the living things which you may eat among all the beasts that are on the earth. Whatsoever parteth the hoof, and is wholly cloven-footed, and cheweth the cud, you can eat. Nevertheless, these you should not eat, of them that only chew the cud, or of them that only part the hoof. The camel you can't eat, because he cheweth the cud, and but parteth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. Now, why would the Bible, why would the ancient Israelites be told not to eat the camel? Well, would you eat your Chevy Tahoe? It was transportation. I mean, you could argue that the rules were written some ways to avoid eating your transportation, if you wanted to be sarcastic. But it gets more complicated, because the next one says, and the rock badger you can't eat, because he cheweth the cud, but parteth not the hoof. He is unclean unto you. So what's the prohibition on a rock badger? What do they care about a rock badger to keep it alive? Then it says you can't even eat a rabbit. Why couldn't the ancient Jew eat the rabbit? It says, and the hare, because she cheweth the cud, but parteth not the hoof. She is unclean unto you. Well, the Italians eat the hare. And the swine, because he parteth the hoof and is cloven-footed, but cheweth not the cud, he is unclean to you. Of their flesh you should not eat, and their carcasses you should not touch. They are unclean unto you. Then what about in the fish in the water? Jews can't eat shrimp. Jews can't eat, you wouldn't know that, of course, going to a smorgasbord in Florida. Jews can't eat shrimp or lobster. Go tell them that down in Boca Raton. These may eat all that are in the waters whatsoever, has fins and scales in the season and the rivers you can eat. But all have not fins and scales in the season and the rivers and all the swarm in the waters and of all the living creatures that are in the waters. They are a detestable thing unto you. And they shall be a detestable thing unto you. Shall not eat of their flesh. And their carcasses you shall have in detestation. Whatever has no fins nor scales in the waters, that is a detestable thing unto you. Right? And what about in the air? And these you shall have in detestation among the fowls. They shall not be eaten. They are a detestable thing. The great vulture, so you can't eat vulture. The bearded vulture. The osprey, the kite, the falcon. The raven, the ostrich, the nighthawk, the seamew, the hawk, the little owl, and the cormorant, and the great owl, and the horned owl, and the pelican, and the carrion vulture, and the stork, and the heron, and the hoopoe, and the bat. You can't eat them. I don't know why. What about creatures that crawl on the ground? All winged, swarming things that go upon all fours are a detestable thing unto you. And he lists the ones, or they list the ones you can eat. But listen to what you can eat. You don't even know this. Attention, Orthodox Jews. Even these of them you may eat, the locust after its kinds, and the bald locust, and the cricket, and the grasshopper. So you're allowed to actually have a grasshopper stew if you're a Jewish person. Or if you really want to go into the Bible, you can have a little locust dessert, a little locust ice cream. Why? Well, it's very interesting because when I studied nutrition, I found out that not only were these great famine foods, grasshoppers are very high in protein, incidentally. The poor Africans, after living in drought, sometimes they have nothing to eat but the locust and the grasshopper, and it keeps them alive. It's a very high source of protein. But all winged swarming things which have 4 feet are a detestable thing unto you. And they go in to the whole deal. You can't eat carrion. You right? And whatsoever goes on its paws among all beasts that go on all fours, that they are unclean unto you. Whoso touch their carcass shall be unclean unto them. And he that beareth the carcass of them shall wash his clothes. Blah, blah, blah. So you go on to the whole thing. I'm not going to read all of it. It's very interesting stuff. It's long. It's long stuff. And then it gets down to the swarming thing. You can't eat them. You cannot eat liberals because it says, whatsoever goeth upon the belly and whatsoever goeth upon all fours, and whatsoever hath many feet, even all swarming things that swarm upon the earth, them ye shall not eat. So you can't eat any liberals, I'm sorry, for they are a detestable thing. You should not make yourself, you shall not make yourself detestable with any swarming thing that swarmeth, neither shall ye make. So you see what I'm getting at? It's very complicated. This is the law of the beast and of the fowl and of every living creature that moveth in the waters and of every creature that swarmeth upon the earth to make a difference between the unclean and the clean and between a living thing that may be eaten and a living thing that may not be eaten. Let's close the book and now let's use common sense. Because I've talked about this with people for years. So you say, well, you could understand why the ancients wouldn't eat pig because they saw they were a dirty animal. The pig rolled in mud. The pig ate fecal matter. And they said it's ugly, disgusting, blah, blah, blah. So they didn't eat the pig. Then there was no refrigeration. There was no preservation. and they probably saw that some people who ate pig, the heathens, would get sick and die of trichinosis. So they said, don't eat the pig. All right, so you understand that one. That's commonsensical. But what about all the other animals? What sense does it make not to eat all of these other animals, whether it be a snake when you're starving to death, which, by the way, you can eat snake meat and live quite well on it. Why would that be in there? Who would have written that? Is that the word of God? Or is that the word of man? And so if it's only the word of man, then you what? The whole Bible is only the word of man? The ancient Israelites, you could argue, were simply trying to hoodwink the dummies in order to keep them under control because they were a proud people and a stiff-necked people and didn't listen to anybody. So he said, hey, man, I saw a bush burn over there, and God came down. He's going to punish you unless... And so he waved a rattle, and he scared everybody, and that's how the whole thing started. You could look at it that way if you want. I mean, you could say it's all shamanism. I'm not going to tell you what to think. I'm not here to convert you or sell you or tell you you're great or not great. To me, religion is just exactly that. It's what you believe in. It's your business, not mine. But take a look at what's going on the earth right now with radical Muslims who don't see the world that way. These fanatics would burn down every library on earth because they would take us back to the 8th century when they burnt the Alexandria Library when they invaded Egypt. And they burnt all the books in the Alexandria Library because to them, there was only one book on earth, and that was the Quran. So they wiped out all of the learning that had been advanced in Egypt. These are the dangerous winds that we are facing on the earth today. Some of us know it. Some of us don't know it. Educated Muslims know it better than you know it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Don't assume they don't know what threats there are. The king of Saudi Arabia knows it. He knows very well he is threatened by these fanatics who would burn his kingdom to the ground if they could, which is why the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, right now, the leaders are shaking in their tents, praying to God that Israel does the work that they should be doing against Iran. So look, I mean, I've gone around and around here with the God talk. I don't even know if you want to hear any of this. And if you want to talk about it a little bit, we can do that. Let me take a couple of quick callers because I don't really know if you want to do any of this. I truthfully don't know. It's a brand new thing on the show because to just every day, just the news, and try to be a wise guy, there's a limit to that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to do something a little different each day, working the news in where possible to keep myself enthused and to keep you enthused. That's it, in plain English. That's what I'm doing. So let's take a couple of quick callers. Let's go to the Catskills in New York. Bernadette, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I think that it's great that you're doing Holy Scripture, that you're reading it, because I think the souls that are dead right now will come to life again. And I think you're touching them in that way.
You mean all the Lindsay Lohans of the world might stop being the Lindsay Lohans of the world? All the Paris Hiltons of the world will come to understand that the world doesn't revolve around them?
God is alive. It's powerful, and it brings life.
Okay, so you're a believer. Where do you see God every day? How do you reach God every day?
I reach him by prayer and praying in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, because as you know, I'm a Catholic, and we believe in the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, the body, blood, soul, and divinity. So I actually believe that he is actually here like he was 2,000 years ago. That's the teaching of the Roman Catholic Church.
So you don't find it boring for me to talk about the religion?
Because I think you're touching people. Like I said, that you know, they might recall, hey, I remember God when I was a kid. And you might be the one touching them. They have forgotten. Maybe they got too involved with the world, and they shut out God out of their minds and their hearts. And I think that you're giving them an opportunity, or God is using you, to touch them. And this is what we need today.
All right. Thanks for the call. I have no way to answer that. New York, WOR, Christine, your opinion, religion or not on Friday?
I wanted to call, first of all, to thank you for talking about this, because it is refreshing that you talk about something other than the Obama situation and politics, because at this point it's well beaten and a little depressing. So thank you. I was channel surfing on AM, and you were the only one that was a little different.
Well, I'm taking a chance. Look, it's taking a chance, Christine, because everyone copies everyone in radio, as in every other medium of entertainment, and they figure no one's doing it, so why should I try? Why should I stick my neck out? But the truth is that every format has to evolve. If either it evolves or dies, it's like a living thing. There's no such thing as staying the same in any business or in any entertainment format. Either you evolve or you die. And I frankly am using gut instincts right now and trying to evolve this show, because I totally believe that shows that are simply into bashing one party or the other are not going to survive after November. They can't survive. People don't want to hear it anymore. So figure Friday we'll do a little religion, and then Monday we're going to, the cycle turns around. Monday, you know, is Labor Day, but generally on Monday we're going to do other stuff, and the Tuesday cycle will be the, I forgot already what we did on Tuesday, I swear to you, my mind, I'm exhausted. Wednesday, I know we did finance. I'm going to try and do it again. Thursday, we did nutrition. I know that we're going to do again on next Thursday, because everyone loved that one with nutrition questions. And we're going to go around and around and around. I mean, many people believed in God as a child, and then they lost their way. Does it mean you're evil? No, I tell you the truth. You know, stop with the judging the good and evil thing. I mean, we know what evil is. Evil is pretty clear what evil is. Evil is hurting somebody. Evil is torturing somebody. Evil is stealing from somebody. You know what evil is. No one has to tell you what it is. You don't even have to believe in God to know what good and evil is. So you ask yourself, well, if God doesn't exist and there's no punishment for ill behavior, then why should I behave well? I don't know. You figure it out. It's not for me to tell you. Some people don't believe there is any judgment, and they act accordingly. So their whole life, they screw everybody they meet. They steal from them. They rob them. They try to screw their old lady. They like to see them in the gutter. There are people like that. There are evil people on earth. We know that. And so what are you going to do about it? Well, hopefully you're going to understand without the police and without our military, we would be victims of these evil people. And the only thing standing between us and the evil ones are the police and the military, in plain English. That's what you have to understand, because there are evil people. And no matter what a society gives to them and to all of us, there are still going to be evil people. The problem is, what happens when the evil people rise up and run the society? What happens when you have the largest majority of leadership in a nation being evil, living there for personal, being there only for personal gain, without any care whatsoever for the welfare of the people? What happens then? Well, that's called 2008 and beyond. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows. I believe that somewhere in the darkest night, a candle glows. I believe for everyone who goes.
All right, so we're listening to a corny schmaltzy song that I... Wait, just listen to it for 1 second.
To show the way. Believe.
Now let's stop for a minute. A song like this could not be produced today because of the degenerates and the junkies in the record business, the vermin in the media. A song like this wouldn't even get through the transom. Take a look at what's gone in this country over the last half century, because that we're talking about a half century of change. I grew up in a rather moralistic post-World War II generation that was a phenomenal generation of people. Amazing things have been done in this country during this time period. I don't know what the next 20, 50 years will bring. I have no way to know. I mean, I'm no crystal ball gazer, so to speak. But I can tell you this, that when you have a media so intent on putting out slasher movies and glorifying the most despicable of human behavior and holding it up as the norm and saying it's only a lifestyle choice and that everyone's activities are equal to the next person, you could pretty much predict what's going to happen to this country. Short of God's an act of God itself, I don't know that this country can survive 50 more years, let alone 20 more years. And we've said this before. Everyone's heard this before. Everyone has heard this before till they're blue in the face, and they don't want to hear it anymore. They know, so what am I supposed to do about it? What are you going to do? You're going to change Katzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Spatzenberg in Hollywood? You're going to change their mindset when they've made so much money? They're richer than ancient kings. They have more power than ancient kings, Hatzenberg, Matzenberg, Ratzenberg, Datzenberg, and Pollutionberg. Why should they change? Why should they stop putting out slasher movies? Why should they stop disseminating pornography in every household? Why should they stop polluting your husband's mind when he's on a road trip in a hotel where there used to be a Gideon Bible? There is now internet pornography, which he can even hide from the company and from you, because the charge doesn't even go on as a download from the television set. Why should you think this country can survive with such filth, with the sewer pipe of filth that comes out of Los Angeles being disseminated into everybody's mind day and night? Tell me how a country can survive with the sewer pipe being pumped out every day, which the sewage, the raw sewage that comes out of the worst minds of our generation. Tell me how the nation can survive when the sewer pipes run into everybody's brain. Tell me that you can even avoid the sewer pipes. Tell me there's a way to even avoid the sewer pipes. Tell me I'm wrong when I say it's the sewer pipes coming out from the most diseased brains of our time, the most diseased brains in history, in the most powerful positions in the media and in the entertainment media, the most diseased minds in history, polluting everybody's mind from top to bottom, so that a dirty little slut can walk around and get caught with cocaine and think that that's cool, that's fine, that's great, that's a role model. I can be drunk, I can be stoned, I can be a whore, and everyone loves me because her parents did such a rotten job in raising that slut. She actually thinks that that's the way to behave. So in that regard, Jerry Lewis is right. Nobody ever put the slut over their knee and spanked them and said, stop it, you're out of control, you're insane. So put the slut in jail for 4 years for the cocaine in a purse. The slut says, it's not my purse. No, it's not even my cocaine. Somebody put it in there. Now, what would happen if a black kid in a ghetto was found with cocaine in a pocketbook? You're telling me that the defense that I didn't put it there would work? No, it wouldn't. But you're telling me because Paris Hilton says that the cocaine was put there by somebody else, even though the makeup is hers, the cocaine wasn't? You're telling me such a defense could fly in the United States of America without riots in the streets? I would say that Rodney King would have been a cakewalk compared to what's going to happen unless the system finally realizes that there must be equal justice for all. So how did it all come from that to this? How did it end up with one slut, degenerate drug addict, symbolizing the fall of America? How did Lady Liberty become a slut in Hollywood?
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
All the way. Oh, 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 not just to say I'm sorry. What can I say?
It is Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. In the first hour, we had a religion on the Savage Nation. Now it's I Ran All the Way Home by the Impalas and all the general news of the day, with some callers left over from the last hour on religion, God. Do you believe in it? Not believe in it? If you missed the hour, I'm not going to repeat it, because the first hour said it all, right, frankly, on the subject. Some of the callers were pretty good, and I ended with a sermon on the Mount. I got carried away with it. I thought it was pretty good, by the way. Will America be here in 2050 when you consider that the worst minds of our generation have pumped the sewage into everyone's mind, into every household? It's unbelievable to me. I watched a movie, for example. I'm a movie nut. I relax at night, bar the door, load the guns, release the dogs, you know, that kind of thing. And then I turn on cable and I search for movies. It relaxes me. So I'm sick and tired of watching comets destroying the earth on National Geo. I'm sick and tired of watching high-tech weapons on military history that they don't use, instead sending our boys to die in hand-to-hand combat. You know, I just don't want to look at any of that stuff anymore. My tastes have changed. So I'm searching around. So I fall upon a movie done about a year ago with Mickey Rourke, looking horrible, just like a grotesque Mickey Rourke. Steroids, and I couldn't believe it. It was a movie called Killzone, where he plays an American Indian hitman killer. It was horrible, but it was so bad. I normally don't watch movies like that. I kept watching it to see if there was anything redeeming about the character, the plot, and there wasn't. It got worse. Him and his partner would just kill for fun. They would kill a poor innocent clerk in a grocery while conducting a robbery. There was nothing in the movie that had any salvation whatsoever. So you ask yourself, how could people who are allegedly so intelligent make movies like this without regard for what they're doing to this country? So you say, well, what do they care about? They care about the buck. And they know that slasher, murder, you know, rape movies sell. Well, what can I tell you? So it sells. At what cost? And here we are. So we're sitting in talk radio. It's a commercial medium, considered an entertainment medium. Talk radio is in the world of AM radio. And so in AM radio, it largely was a music format. In the early days of radio, talk radio comes from the entertainment section of the band. It's still an entertainment medium when you think about it. So in order to survive and thrive, as I have done for these 16 years, you have to be entertaining, you have to be educational, you have to be captivating. There's a lot of things you have to be, or you wouldn't rise to where I've risen and stayed there for so long. But now I'm telling you that the show has to change. The show has to change because America is changing, the format is changing, and I'm changing. And I suspect the audience is changing. They can hear this disclosure of Obama's failures 24/7, even from liberal sources, because everyone knows the guy is over his head. They know he was foisted upon the American people. They may not even know who did it yet. And they know it. They just don't know how bad it really is yet. They have no idea how deeply ingrained the Marxism is inside Obama's skull and inside the so-called leadership of this administration. That is yet to percolate. All they know is the economy's bad, unemployment is high, it's near 10%, and that they're out of ideas. That's all they know so far. So you open up, I walk past newsstands, newspaper racks. So yeah, I look at all of my glance. I look at USA Today, you know, sad sack newspaper. I haven't any idea where they print it. And listen to a headline I see. It says, "Party in power likely to lose seats in November." I had to do a double take. That the propaganda has gotten so bad that they won't even say Democrats likely to lose seats in November. The vermin at USA Today are so sewn into the cloak of liberalism that they say party in power likely to lose seats in November. So I walk away shaking my head saying, they're going out of business. It's a newspaper that never made a dime. Do they know why people won't buy it? Do they know why people have turned from the newspaper? And I say, yes, they must, but they don't care. They'd rather go broke than change their agenda. They'd rather go broke than stop worshiping at the altars of liberalism and atheism, is how I see it. In other words, they're fanatics. In a certain way, they're religious fanatics. Extreme liberalism, like anything else, is a fanaticism. And fanaticism, whether it comes from religious fanatics or political fanatics, is a very dangerous thing. And when you see that the entire media industry, to the 99th percentile, is controlled by fanatics on the left, you realize what trouble this country is in, and you wonder how we're going to get out of this morass. So I say to you, I don't have an answer. I'm not Moses. I'm not going to lead you through. I'm not going to make the Red Sea part. But if I want to do a little of this and a little of that each day, I'm going to do it because I think that you'll follow, because I think that you're thirsting for a change as well. And that is why I took the chance today of reading from the Bible and asking you to believe in God, don't believe in God, how do you know God exists, etc. And I'll also do the news. So having said all of that and set it all up, it's now time to take some callers on the Savage Nation. Let's start in San Diego. Tyler, go ahead, please. You're on the show.
Hey, I enjoy the Friday show with religion. I enjoy talking about religion when nobody's preaching to me. So, but, you know, I do believe in God, but I don't believe in religions. I have yet to see something good come out of them.
So let me ask you, when you say you believe in God but not in religion, how do you reach God?
How do I reach God? Just by doing good in my life, you know, living a
period.
Good life.
End of story. I understand that. In other words, one could argue that all the rituals of any religion are geared to one thing only, and that's to have men basically do good.
And that's all you can do. I mean, you can sit there and pray 24 hours a day, but, you know, and thank
God. Right, and then you can go out and screw your neighbor's wife and rob him after you've prayed all day long.
Or run for president, you know,
yeah,
either
right.
way.
right? How many times have we seen that, the fake preachers on television? Remember the years? Caught in a car with a boy or a girl? Remember those years? You remember Tammy Baker with the crying? Remember those? The one after the other televangelists. Could you remember? You remember those days?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was still a kid then, but yeah, I remember watching on TV. I couldn't get over the makeup she wore.
Yep, the tears. Tears on my pillow, etc. All right, I've heard that before. I don't come from a particularly religious family. I mean, I don't want to go into my own belief system again. I don't think it's appropriate. My mother, I can tell you truthfully, I don't have any shame to tell you. My father was an atheist, I think. And my mother was not religious, but she told me God existed. I could see that she believed, and she did certain things which indicated to me she believed that God existed. And then with the tragedy in our family of my brother and all, I think it brought me as a young boy to think more deeply about the world and why would God do this and how can I help my mother and what can I do to make her stop crying and hurting over this. I feel that children are deeply affected by a sibling who is born with such severe damage, and I think that more has to be done for the children of such families than is being done, because the emphasis is, and probably should continue to be, on the one who is the weakest, but they forget that those who are affected may be affected in many, many deep ways without even understanding the effects or what they're doing as a reaction. I'll give you an example. All the years that I traveled, what made me leave New York? Why did I leave kith and kin? Why didn't I do what all of my cohorts did? Follow the same path. Regular doctor, regular dentist, regular lawyer, or regular businessman, or regular insurance salesman, or regular real estate investor. Why was I traveling at such a young age, at such great expense and cost to myself, in the Fiji Islands, Tahiti, Samoa, Tonga? What was I looking for? Healing plants. What was I doing that for? Well, years later, I came to understand in my own way, I was trying to heal my brother. That's what I think. That was the deep motivation. Of course, I didn't heal my brother. He was dead by then. But the point is that we're motivated by interesting things. For example, I once read the autobiography of the man who invented the neutron bomb, Mr. Cohen, one of the most brilliant men in the history of the world, perhaps completely least known great genius of our time. Cohen invented the neutron bomb. And then Cohen wrote a little-known autobiography in which he describes how he developed the neutron bomb, why he developed it, and he said, it must go back to my mother, who was such a monster. His mother now, not mine. He said she was obsessed with cleanliness. She was obsessed with health. She would wash my mouth out with soap if I said anything wrong. She would give me enemas because I ate bad food, and I constantly had either diarrhea or I was sick from what she was doing to me. And he said, as a result, I think, he said, I developed the neutron bomb because those are the symptoms of radiation poisoning, and I gave it to others because she gave it to me. That is what that's what Cohen described in his autobiography. How many people even know this? I don't even know how many people even know what the neutron bomb is or who invented it, why what's the psychology behind the invention of the bomb. Who ever heard of this? Well, you just did. That's why you're listening to The Savage Nation. I'll be back.
Savage.
You don't remember me, but I remember you. 'Twas not so long ago.
Okay, we're back. I don't know how much of the audience is left. I know this, the lights are sold out on my little Telos keypad here. All the lights are lit, which is, you know, a writer's greatest nightmare is the empty page. Used to be in a typewriter, right? Well, a talk show host's greatest nightmare is an empty call board. I don't suffer that problem. I mean, really, whatever topic I do, by and large, it's 100% lit the whole time for the whole show. But a day like today, it's actually lit more and more and consistently. I mean, the minute someone hangs up, there's 50, 100 people waiting to get on. So you say, well, does that really mean that the audience is bigger today because you're talking about God and religion? Not necessarily, because there's an old rule in talk radio, I'll share it with you, that I learned the first few days I began. No, I'm not going to tell it to you. Why should I give the young people any... Why should I tell anyone what I learned? When I first went into the Fiji Islands to learn about folk medicine from the women who are practitioners of herbal medicine, they were very reluctant to share it with me. I had to spend time there and get to know them and drink have a kava with the men. And then eventually I was told that they will share it with you, but they don't want anyone in the village listening in, because their only power in the village is the knowledge that they have from their mothers and grandmothers, and they don't want the others to steal it from them by learning about it. So I said, well, that makes sense. So they gave it to me, and I promised not to give it in the village, which I never did. I put it into the scientific literature. The same in talk radio. Why should I give you my secrets? So, so having said, well, I can give it to you generically. It's like this. Just because you have a big response in callers doesn't mean the audience is very deep or large. In other words, if I said UFOs to you, and we're going to talk about UFOs, the boards would be packed with lunatics. And it wouldn't mean that the audience is bigger. It would probably be much smaller than it normally is. Or if I said we're going to talk only today about guns and ammo and reloading, tell me your favorite reloading story. Every reloader and gun guy in the country would be calling, and you couldn't get near the show, but it wouldn't mean that the audience in general is larger. I mean, it could be it's small. Or and you certain topics, in other words, that I could load up the lights, so it wouldn't mean that the audience is there. You know what I'm saying? So you have to be very generalized in some of your approaches to these things. So that's the story. I got a headache like you can't. I don't know why. I think I drank bad grapefruit juice today. I was in the refrigerator for 2 weeks. I didn't know grapefruit. It said the date was good till October. Some kind of bug got in it. I've been having nightmares anyway. It's before Labor Day. I have pre-Labor Day nightmares. And then it's the going back to school. Even though I don't go to school anymore, I still have dreams that I'm going back to school at my age and that I don't have pants on and I'm running through the halls looking for pants in high school. Why do we have these dreams? What kind of dream is that? There's got to be a psychologist in the house. I'm always in the hall of a high school and I either have a shirt and I look down and I can't find my pants and everyone's dressed and I'm running looking for my pants. I don't understand it. It never actually happened to me. I know what it is. It's a feeling of inadequacy or you're not prepared for school, whatever. Who knows the mind? Who knows the human mind, what lurks therein? You're lucky to get through a day without hurting yourself or others. That's all I can tell you. And that's why you need to believe in something, because otherwise we're wild beasts. We do anything. If we didn't actually believe in God and punishment, think about what you would be doing. Just think about how bad it would be. And understand, well, what good does it do with all of the horrors on earth? Think about how bad it would be if there was no belief in God at all. Just think of how much worse it could get. I once met a man who said to me, it doesn't really matter what the religion is. It all boils down to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. And I said, yeah, that's a pretty good rule to live by. That's about right. Then another man said to me, basically, we do good even if we don't believe in God because we're good people. So that's a good one. That's a nice one. See, so people have worked it out in their own head in many different ways. That you could be a decent person and not religious. Or you could be the most religious person on earth and the worst SOB on the planet. All you got to do is take a look at some of our friends with the saws in their hand who chant to their God while cutting off someone's head who doesn't believe in their God. Okay, they'll give you some idea of what could happen. So what does religion mean at the end of the day? What good is you do all the mumbo-jumbo and the rituals and you cut someone's head off or you put a bomb in a cafe? That makes you a better person? But I'm applying rational logic to this subject while they don't apply rationality nor logic to the subject of God. They're fanatics. They're dangerous, which is why we have to support the U.S. military, because the only thing between us and the abyss is the U.S. military. Overseas, and the police, frankly, and our intelligence agencies within this country. Without that, we're finished. We'd be overrun tomorrow. Believe me, that's the truth. So you have to support them no matter what you may think. You must. Do you know all of this or not? San Diego, Catherine, welcome to the program.
Hi, Michael. I've been thinking a lot about what you said, and in my life, I've had two real direct experiences where I've been directed to God, and one was when I was about 10 years old. I had a cat named Tiger, and I've always been into animals, but I was overweight as a kid, and Tiger was my best friend, and we lived around the corner from a field, a lettuce field, so at night, you know, for some reason they didn't, you know, fix the cats then, and they would roam at night, and it was Christmas Day, and I opened the door, and I called Tiger. And he didn't come, and I went out to my driveway, and he had dragged himself all the way around from the freeway. He had gotten hit by a car, and I'll tell you, I've never seen anything like it. There was a pool of blood just all the way to my driveway, and he was just smashed from half of his body down. And I picked him up, and he's never purred as loud as he did when I picked him up that day. And it was Christmas Day, and I went to my mother, and I...
Hold on. So that was your first experience with Savage. Destiny.
Darling, you sent me. I know you sent me. Darling, you...
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. So we have the laziest president in American history. Back from a vacation, he's going on another vacation. Incomprehensible. No one can believe this. From one vacation to the next vacation. Unemployment near 10%. Economy loses 283,000 jobs during the summer. It's obvious that he needs to replace his economic team because they're all academicians who have never created a product or a service that anybody ever bought. And they're using theories that they read in textbooks written by their friends, none of which add up to a dime in revenue or a job created. Not one. They're all from colleges. They don't know what they're talking about. They got a schmuck from the Clinton years who they gave a teaching job at Berkeley, going on television to talk about tax, looking to get another job again. Labor Secretary Reich, Mr. Reich, a big genius. Never created a product or service anybody ever wanted, but he's an expert on becoming a labor secretary. So they go from the government back to academia, academia to government, and we're in trouble. The average person knows what needs to be done to stimulate the economy. I'll give you an example. Here in San Francisco, Monday, they're closing a number of streets for a Labor Day run. So I speak to a woman who owns a Chinese restaurant. She said, do you know that I cannot even get into my restaurant because of this bicycle race? They won't even let me get on the street to bring in vegetables and food. I have to close the restaurant on Monday. I said, I can't believe it. I said, what a stupid city. They wouldn't even be able to have a city were it not for these businesses that produce the taxes. And yet all they do is attack the businesses that produce the taxes because they're all left-wing idiots who have never produced a product or a service that anyone ever needed. Now that I've done the political segment, I'll go back to the religious segment. Catherine in San Diego, go ahead. So your cat got hit by a car, comes back to you ripped in half, and what happened?
Well, went to my mother, and make a long story short, you know, it was Christmas Day. She calls the vet. I mean, I'm just hysterical. And the vet, you know, he reluctantly goes in. We take the cat down. He said there's no chance this cat's going to live. He was just barely alive. So I just said, please. So we kept the cat there the whole night, and I was on my knees all night praying to God. I mean, I'll still remember that day as long as I live. And the next day, I fell asleep, and I was on my knees. The next day, the vet called my mother and said, it's a miracle. This cat is going to live. And I remember he had a cast on him for, I would say, almost a year. He was just completely mutilated.
So you feel it was your prayer, not the doctor's work, that saved the cat?
I'm convinced that, you know, it was my prayer, and I'm sure the doctors...
Well, I mean, I hate to be cynical, but how do you explain the 6 million Jews being gassed to death by Nazis? I'm sure they prayed for a deliverance.
I guess I was heard, and I guess it was meant to be, because it was something...
All right, I hear you. See, but I've heard the other side, too. I've spoken to people who had been religious prior to the Holocaust, who threw their Bibles in the garbage afterwards, who they cursed the concept of God because of it. Then I've heard people take it the other way. As it was not for the Holocaust, there'd be no state of Israel. I heard it all. Everything you can argue whatever way you want. Every way you want, you could argue it one way or the other. I don't have any answer for you. I'm not here to sell you on it. That's all. I'm not here to sell, you know, what you want to believe or not believe. God, not God. You ever see the bumper stickers that say, dog is my co-pilot? Does that offend you if you're religious? That's the favorite atheist bumper sticker in the Bay Area of San Francisco. Dog is my co-pilot. All right, so wonderful. What does that mean? What are you trying to show? That you're? I don't know. The things people put on their cars, rolling billboards. Who needs it? But yeah, let's move on here. You know, I think we've gone through the God thing. I really like to hear from an atheist for the minute. I'd like to hear someone who doesn't believe in God tell us why he doesn't believe in God. We've heard from one agnostic. Is there an atheist listening to this show who listens to the show and believes in me but not in God? Now, I'm not trying to compare myself or put myself in the same category, you understand. But is there somebody? Because otherwise this is going to start to sound like a certain fellow on Fox News with a blackboard who suddenly put on the preacher and became Marjo. And I don't want to go there. I mean, I really don't want to suddenly be crossing over into the evangelical, revival tent business. That's for someone else. God bless. If they make you happy, good luck to you. It's not my business to sell you on anything. I know some very bad people who are very religious. I know some very good people who are very unreligious. I know some people in between. I know some very evil people who are very, very religious. I met them in my life. Evil, pure evil, no good from top to bottom. And they're the first to give you a big preach job about God and how they believe in it. You can't believe it. They'd rob you blind. They'd rob you blind if they could, but all they do is talk about how good they are. And, you know, so I've seen it all, you know, at a certain point. How much can you believe in any of these people? That's why I like not to get, you know, that's why I would say it's kind of a very personal thing what you believe in at the end of the day. Now, the reason I'm doing it is because Friday is a day that is the initiation of the Sabbath for the three religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. All use the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday as their holy day of the day of worship. So that's what Friday is good for. And I've heard the prayers in mosques in Israel. It's pretty amazing to hear the announcements from the minarets. It's pretty amazing. I mean, I was there a long time ago, but when you hear the call to prayer, it's stirring. It doesn't matter what the religion is, whether it's the bells of St. Mary's or the calls to prayer in a mosque or, frankly, or in a synagogue. I mean, religion is pretty profound when it's done right. But it's not a desire of mine to sell you on it one way or the other. I myself am not a particularly religious person. I'm not. I mean, plain English, I'm not. I'm not really an attendee of houses of worship. I admire those who go. I mean, if I drive by a church on a Sunday personally, I kind of like seeing people dressed up and going to church. It makes me feel good. You know, and it's the same with any religion. I kind of like it, but I don't like when they use religion as a Trojan horse to take over a country. Let's put it to you that way. Believe me, many, many people understand what I'm saying to you. When you see what's going on in Paris with the radical Muslims blocking streets and saying they have to pray in the street, it's a war. It's a method of war. And they're using our freedom of religion as a Trojan horse method to take over the West. Those types, that type. You know that. There's no question about it. I was thinking about that in bed this morning, that the West is built upon all of these humane, humanitarian, you know, concepts, even though it's absolutely not true. It's rubbish because the governments don't really practice those. They do everything they can to discourage patriotism and to discourage a love of God. You know what our government is like. It's purely atheism and purely a worship of man and the government. You know that. They have become gods unto themselves. You think this administration is really religious behind the scenes? You believe that rubbish. I don't believe a one of them believes in God, if you want to talk about it. Truthfully, not one word do I believe of it. The only president that I actually believe was into this over the last number of years is George Bush. I believe he actually was a believer. The others, I don't believe a word of it. All staged presences, by and large. But who can speak for the next man? I mean, I can't tell you. It's between them and their maker. You know, at the end of the day, who knows what a man really believes in the quiet of his own home. But I was laying in bed this morning in the dark before getting out for the day, and I thought, oh, God, I have to talk about God today. How am I going to do this? Oh, God, I got to talk about you today. How am I going to do this? You think I just get up here and do this, right? You think it just comes out of the air. Well, no, it doesn't just come out of the air. It comes out of some long thoughts about it, like my entire life. But for today in particular, I was saying, how can Western civilization go on when our enemies are using religion as a Trojan horse method to take us over? And then I said, there's a bigger question. Yes, we have a belief in freedom of religion, but that's when the word religion has a similar meaning. When you say religion, you generally think of people who believe in God and they believe in doing good and they believe in leaving people alone. So you say, of course you believe in anyone's way to reach their beliefs in any way they want. Buddhist, Christian, Hindu, Jewish, Muslim, doesn't matter. Freedom of religion sounds good. But what if there's a religion that comes along that believes in order for their religion to thrive, they have to kill you or convert you? So you have to say, you have to curtail that. Then you have to understand that there's no such thing as an absolute when it comes to freedom of. There has to be a limitation on what you mean by religion. If the religion preaches goodness, we all agree it's good. But if the religion preaches death to others, then you have to say that's not a religion, that's a political doctrine. And that is the problem of the century. And we have a president and a media and a government that refuses to even understand the question, let alone know the answer. So it's up to us to educate them, is it not? Did you hear what I just said? Perhaps one of the most important things I've ever said in all the years I've ever been in radio, and I said it in a way that I think is quite neutral and quite right down the center line. Sure, we believe in freedom of religion, so far as the religion teaches peace and love and the brotherhood of man. But when someone uses the concept of religion to dominate the other religions or to take over a nation, then you have to say, my friend, that's not a religion. And I don't care how many cockamamie lawyers with twisted brains from NYU come out at us, you're not going to get away with it. We'll throw them in jail or we'll throw you in jail. We'll throw every cockeyed lunatic from the ACLU in prison before we let you take over our country. So just get it straight. Don't think you can run that number by me, Johnson. See, now that's the kind of leadership we're all waiting for. Someone who can actually discern reality, someone who actually knows reality, and someone who's willing to stand up for reality. Can you name one politician who's willing to say what I just said? No. No, you can't, which is why you have such wonderful faith in politicians. Because you can't get an iota of truth out of most of them. They're scared to death that if they say one wrong thing, they'll be out of office. I don't even blame them. With the jackals in the media, they're afraid to say a word. But I will tell you this. We're way past worrying about the degenerates in the media. I think that every man must speak his mind, whether he be a politician, a talk show host, or whatever. In order for America to be saved, I think there's only one thing that can save us, and that's the truth itself. And I think in order to get to that truth, all of us must speak out. I'll be right back to take your calls.
Heart and soul, I fell in love with you. Heart and soul, the way a fool would do.
You know, you talk about fanatics in religion. 18 freed Gitmo detainees returned to terror. 18 confirmed and 43 suspected cases of detainees who had been released from the Guantanamo Bay prison and returned to terrorism. And we gave them Qurans and we gave them halal meals and we heard that there was maltreatment of them. Do you people have any idea what the liberal maniacs are doing to this country and undermining us in our war on terror? Do you have any idea how we're all going to die unless you stand up to this fanaticism? Pakistan's Taliban threaten attacks in U.S. and Europe. Again, in the name of religion. They believe God's on their side and we're evil, so therefore they can kill your daughter. They can kill your son without blinking an eye. Now, what do you do with people like that? Well, yeah, you pretty much know what you have to do. Even a left-wing president knows what you have to do. Otherwise, the world disappears. Seems everyone knows it except the fanatics in the ACLU. So take a look at the stories, and you'll see what religion can do for the evil and for the good of mankind. 1-800-449-8255. MichaelSavage.com. Let's go to New York City. Joe on WOR. Go ahead, please.
How are you doing, Doc? Sorry. I tried to believe in God for the longest time, but the more I look around, I see no critical thinking. I don't see a unique soul. And it's pretty much out of pessimism that, you know, I'm led to believe that we're just a bunch of wild animals. You know, you see people going nuts over trivial things such as at sports games,
Beating people up over a tennis match. I saw that. You're giving that an example. So you mean you've lost faith or you never had it?
You know, I've tried to develop it, but I the more I look around and, you know, every day that passes, it just diminishes more and more.
You mean because the world is so base? Is that it? And so you've seen the baseness of man and you feel, how can there be a God?
Yes, I do. And
well, what if you encountered people who are opposite of that, the good people, and you know there are good people who literally give their lives for the good. Like, for example, Christian missionaries who went to Afghanistan recently. There were ophthalmologists, eye doctors, surgeons who went there to help the blind people of Afghanistan, and these bastards blew them up and killed them. So how can you say the world is all evil?
No, I'm not saying the world is all evil, but I'm just saying that, you know, the shining stars, like the people you just described, are so few and far between you know, compared to the masses who
are... Joe, you just touched on your own salvation. I saw what you just said. I don't even know you, but I have to tell you that if you were to expose yourself to those shining stars, how few they may be, in this sea of darkness, you yourself would find the light within yourself, and I think you'd feel a different, you'd be in a different world, Joe.
You know, I try to do it every day, Dr. Savage.
But what you're saying is you're in New York, where are you going to find it? You walk around, what you see are just robots walking around. You're feeling this alienation, is that right?
Correct.
You're looking and you think everybody is like a zombie walking around to do evil. Well, first of all, that's not true because you don't know what the next man is up to. You can't know what they're doing once they go into the office or into the hospital or into the school or into the bay. You don't know what people are doing. It's very hard to make a generic statement about people when you just see them in the street or you look in the media. The media never shows anybody good. The media never shows a decent person. Never. All they show is the evil and the evildoer. Is that correct?
No, you're absolutely right about that.
So the media is probably the most demonic force in America. It's probably the single most important reason that America is in such trouble because the media only harps on that which is no good, that which is evil. And they constantly try to rip people down. They never, ever show or rarely ever show a decent person doing something good for humanity. They figure that wouldn't sell. And yet a guy like you is looking to see that. I don't know where you have to turn to find it. I'm not going to tell you where to go. I don't know where you can go, but I'm sure it's all around you. I'm sure it's somewhere in New York. All around you, there are people you never heard of who are like saints.
Yeah, you know, what brings me a little bit of hope, you know, when people like you and I talk, you know, sometimes I'll talk to, you know, a rabbi or a priest or, you know, even an imam.
I do know. How old are you, Joe?
I'm 22.
I hear that. You're just going through a phase where you will come out of it. You're going through the sufferings of young Bertha phase, and I'm not trying to be sarcastic, where it's the woe is me, the world is no good, I'll never get out of this morass, it's horrible and the world is terrible. Now, you could get stuck in that and become an ordinary man, and you'll live out your life in abject misery. You'll never see a moment of peace or pleasure. Or you can swim through that mud and that murk, and you could come up for air, and you'll see another world. I'm not saying that all the world you're going to see after that's going to be beautiful, but occasionally you will see that beautiful world, and there is a beautiful world out there. I don't know where you're going to find it, Joe, but you're in a city like New York. It's everywhere. There's got to be groups of people who, I don't know, save animals? What are you interested in?
I'm actually interested in food and nutrition. You know, one of my goals later in life is to kind of, you know, I'd like to influence the world of medicine to kind of get, you know, stop.
So why don't you try to link up with people who are interested in this and see if you find some nice people who talk about positive things? What it is what you're doing is you're only exposed to the tabloid media, whether it be television or newspapers, and all you hear is the negative, 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 the evil, the evil, the evil, the evil, the evil, till your mind can't take it anymore. When the exact opposite is what your mind is screaming for right now. There's actually a highly spiritual person within you who is dying to emerge. And I don't know how you're going to find it, but I'm as sure as I'm standing here, your life will emerge in another way because you're looking for it or you wouldn't have called the show. You're called like downtrodden, you're called like miserable and hopeless, but you're reaching out, you're calling out, you're hoping you could find something, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Well, guess what? You just made the first step, and that's all I can do for you today. I can't do any more. I wish you well. I can't reach out from the radio through the microphone and take the kid, you know, out and for a dinner and say to him, look at this, take a look at these saintly doctors, these Christian doctors who go to Afghanistan for no money, to bring sight to the blind, and these fanatic Muslims blow them up and kill them and behead them. What can I do? Can I bring you to see these Christian people? I don't know. There's so much good in the world, but the media, the rotten, stinking, dark, evil media, will not show it to you. They thrive on evil. They're vultures.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity.
Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Why did this happen now? A year and a half they've been investigating me on alleged racial profiling on the streets. A year and a half. And I'm very confident that my deputies do not racial profile. And they know it. They can't get the proof. So now they're suing me. Just for documents. It's very interesting. This lawsuit came down against me when they really don't have anything. Just after the state sued the governor. I don't know if that's a coincidence. Why didn't they sue me the last year and a half? Why now?
As I walk along, I wonder what went wrong with our love, a love that was so strong.
This is the Savage Nation.
And as I still walk on, I think of the things we've done together while our hearts were young.
New evidence undermines Fed's case against Arizona. The Justice Department is harassing Sheriff Arpaio without any evidence whatsoever. In France, a teacher has been suspended for spending too much time on the Holocaust. That's right. A lawyer for the Jewish French history teacher said she has been accused by administrators of teaching the World War II massacres with insufficient neutrality. I can't believe what I'm reading. I just can't believe it, but it's happening. It's all on MichaelSavage.com. Child's ordeal shows risks of psychosis drugs for young. BBC admits massive leaning to the left. Discovery Channel gunman was prosecuted in San Diego for alien smuggling, and yet the media had sympathy for him. Muslim GI is quoting the Quran, who says, "I can't fight for the U.S., which is nonsense. In fact, there's a Muslim group that says he's lying. Hezbollah car bombs on our border? That's right. Rep. Sue Merrick says so. Is the Tea Party becoming the new grand old party? Because let me tell you something. I started it all by calling them Democrats and Republicrats in 94. And I said only a third party can save us. And it looks like we have one. It's called the Tea Party. The leader of Hamas rejects compromise and peace with Israel. He wants death and destruction. That left-wing con man, Bonnie Frank.
Bonnie Frank is talking about billions of our dollars. It's billions of dollars. It's an ore. Bonnie Frank
says that the GOP thinks Obama's inauguration was as bad as 9/11. I don't know where he's getting this from. Listen to the lunatic.
Here's what apparently happened on January 21st, 2009. If you listen to the Republican, it was after maybe Pearl Harbor Day or 9/11 of 2001. The worst day in American history, January 21st, 2009. Here's what happened. All of a sudden, unemployment appeared. Didn't have any, according to this view, under George Bush. The war in Afghanistan started to go bad. It had been wonderfully done before that. The deficit appeared.
Frank thinks he's a very
the
funny man.
The system of America stalled. All of these bad things, according to that, happened.
Well, if you stop the tape,
Barack Obama took office,
you realize he's not really funny. He's just deranged. And more, Frank.
Bill Clinton went out of office. Alan Greenspan was worried that there would be no national debt and he wouldn't be able to do monetary policy. That is literally the truth. Bush then did two big tax cuts to finance, five big tax cuts to finance two wars, and the deficit began.
Now listen to this nut on legalizing gambling and marijuana.
We now make it illegal for adults to gamble on the internet. If you have some guy who wants to play poker on the internet, we say it's illegal. Why? That's anybody's idea of the government's business is beyond me. We could make billions of dollars a year by making it legal and taxing it. smoking marijuana. Mm-hmm. We go around chasing people.
Again, but see, to me,
smoking marijuana.
But smoking marijuana is essentially legal now. You can get it anywhere, and if you get caught, it's the most minimum.
Well, then why have hypocrisy?
Come on, Barney, knock it off. It sounds like you're high on something yourself. Now listen to this reporter trying to speak with one of the Ground Zero mosque investors.
Hassan, how you doing, sir? Charles Lee from Fox 5 News.
Remember Hisham El-Zanati? He's the Egyptian-born businessman who's one of mosque developer Sharif El-Gamal's money men.
I'd like to ask you just a couple of quick questions, if I may.
I'm not a gentleman now.
May I ask you a couple of questions about Sharif El-Gamal, please, sir? Sir, would you just tell us how you know Sharif El-Gamal?
This speaks volumes. But listen on as they say El-Zanati gave money to terrorists.
We now know El-Zanati has a stake in the mosque near Ground Zero. His attorney confirms El-Zanati made, quote, a significant investment in the $4.8 million purchase. And Fox 5 News has also learned that in 1999, Hisham El-Zanati sent money to a terrorist organization, the Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development, also known as HLF. HLF's tax records show El-Zanati contributed more than $6,000 to the Holy Land Foundation. It was shut down by the federal government in 2001 and designated a global terrorist. Five of its leaders were convicted in 2008 of providing material support to Hamas.
This is the same Hamas who gunned down four Israelis in cold blood this week, including a pregnant woman. You didn't read about that in your local rag, did you?
This all comes back to the money trail leading to the mosque. First off, how do Sharif El-Gamal, the developer, and El-Zanati even know each other? El-Zanati's attorney says he doesn't know, but confirms his client did invest in two of El-Gamal's properties, including the mosque. Mm-hmm. And so, for the first time, we now know that one of the people who bought the mosque, just two blocks from the World Trade Center site, also donated money to a terrorist organization.
So do you still think that this Ground Zero mosque developer just wants to bring people and religions together? Because I don't. All right, I'll be right back.
Savage.
It's just like heaven being here with you. You're like an angel, too good to be true. But after all,
President Obama spent the first part of his presidency traveling around the world, bowing and scraping to everyone. Now, the State Department has released a report to the UN that says we have a human rights problem right here in the U.S. But if you read the report closely, it just doesn't add up. This is crazy, our own government turning on us. Joining us now from the Cato Institute to review this is Roger Pilon. Roger, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Well, thank you, Michael. It's good to be with you.
What does this crazy report say?
Well, when I read the State Department report about human rights problems in the U.S., it struck me that, first of all, this is the first such report that we have ever written. Secondly, it came as a result of the Obama administration rejoining the Human Rights Commission at the U.N. And so we just published our first assessment done by the Obama administration of human rights problems in the U.S. Now, you may think that what in the world are our human rights problems?
Exactly.
We don't have religious persecution. We don't have show trials. We don't have the kinds of abuses that you find in other parts of the world.
What kind of abuses in America are these idiots looking at?
Well, it turns out that when they go to look at human rights problems, they see such things as blacks and Hispanics have higher unemployment rates than whites. Whites are more likely to have college degrees than Native Americans. And this report reads like some politically correct campaign document that just conflates two very different conceptions of human rights, namely the rights that we ordinarily think of as human rights with the kinds of entitlements that you find in the European welfare state, which are couched as human rights.
But why is there such a drastic difference of opinion on the definition of human rights?
Well, you have to go back to the history of the UN on human rights. Remember, the UN was created in the ashes of World War II, and it took upon itself one of the main charges to protect human rights around the world. But when it issued its human rights document, the basic one, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, it conflated two very different conceptions, the one that we ordinarily think of that I mentioned a few minutes ago, and then this conception of goods and services being part of human rights. For example, Article 24 says that one of your basic human rights is periodic holidays with pay.
What?
How's that?
Unbelievable.
And so what you've got is two documents that have come out of the UN history. One is the document pertaining to civil and political rights, the kind of rights we normally think of, and the other is the document pertaining to social, economic, cultural rights, these kinds of welfare rights. Well, it turns out that the U.S. Senate has ratified the first of those documents, but it never has, it's repeatedly refused to ratify the second. Well, what this report does, in effect, is bring the U.S. into the state of affairs whereby we are recognizing this second category of rights without benefit of the Senate having weighed in on
that. Equate basic human rights with not enough paid holidays? That's really a scream.
The Obama administration is obsessed, like so many people on the left, with affirmative action and inequality. I mean, when you see such things in this report as this, Asian American men suffer from stomach cancer 114% more often than non-Hispanic white men. That's a human rights problem, but that's the way they're thinking, and that's the approach that they take.
Hmm.
It's essentially egalitarianism run amok, recast in the language of human rights. And so what you have, in effect, is a state of affairs whereby, if these are indeed human rights, these entitlements, and they are required to be provided through government, well, there's only one way that government can provide these kinds of rights, and that's by taking from some and giving to others. In other words, it's a prescription for the modern redistributive and regulatory state.
How do you think this will affect our credibility in the eyes of the world?
Well, in the eyes of the world, that's an interesting question, because what you have is we're telling the rest of the world that we want to be just like you, just like the welfare states of Europe, because we are moving toward recognizing these as basic human rights, these welfare entitlements, just like the right to be free from torture, the right to religious freedom, the right to freedom of the press, and so on and so forth. And so it tells the world, and by the world, I mean this, you have on this new Human Rights Commission such human rights exemplars as Russia, China, Saudi Arabia, Libya, Cuba. I mean, these are the people who are passing judgment on our human rights conditions. And you can imagine what their assessments must look like.
Mm-hmm.
Iran telling us, you know, that we respect the rights of women and religious minorities and so on and so forth. It's, again, we're playing once more into this fraud that is the way the UN goes about dealing with human rights issues.
Is there anyone in the entire administration who is not drug-addled who recognizes what a sham their stupid report is? I doubt it.
Well, I'm sure that there are some people in the administration who notice what a sham that this is, but I can tell you from my own experience that the State Department, in preparing this document, held sort of town meeting-like events around the country. The last one was held in the spring in Washington, and it was the Federalist Society that they invited to bring people together to speak about this, and I was one of the ones speaking at that meeting. And I raised real human rights problems, like the fact that property owners in this country are often ill-treated by the courts when they seek to protect their property from seizing without compensation. We have cases that are legion along those lines.
Well, like what?
We have, for example, the Kelo case in New London, Connecticut, where Suzette Kelo had her home seized and transferred to a commercial developer who could make better use of it by providing the community with larger tax base. This is the kind of abuse that should not be permitted under the Constitution's Fifth Amendment clause, which protects property owners. These are the kinds of things that I raised, along with such things as forced unionism, union dues, and so on and so forth, that are real human rights violations. Of course, none of that made it into the report that the State Department issued. Their focus is almost entirely on notions of inequality, and it is the kind of identity politics by race, ethnicity, and so forth. I mean, it's replete with discussions of the issues of women, blacks, Latinos, Muslims, South Asians, American Indians, and gays.
Where is the midstream media reporting on the inequities of this insane report?
Well, we haven't seen much from the media about this report because the report is perfectly consistent with much of what the mainstream media stands for. Now, if the media were really concerned about this issue, they would contrast human rights conditions in the United States with human rights conditions in places like Saudi Arabia, Libya, Cuba, North Korea, and so forth, by way of saying that this self-assessment that we have just sent in is really something of a fraud itself, because there are no human rights conditions of the kind that we ordinarily think of in the United States. There are inequalities, to be sure, but that's because we have freedom. When you have freedom, you will have inequality.
Mm-hmm.
Some people use their freedom very industriously and become very wealthy, for example. Other people use their freedom to essentially relax or work at a lower level. And in that case, you'll get inequalities, but that doesn't mean that anyone's rights have been violated.
Roger Pilon, thanks for being on The Savage Nation.
You're welcome, Michael, and it's been my pleasure to discuss these issues with you.
Here we have another example of the Obama administration apologizing to the world for a problem that doesn't even exist. Our freedoms are something the world wants to emulate, and we shouldn't have to apologize for them, even if our president hates us.
Savage.
I used to play around with hearts, hasten at my call. But when I met that little girl, I knew that I would fall for a little fool. Oh yeah, I was a fool.
There's a new format on The Savage Nation where today we, let's go back to Monday. Monday is sort of food, you know, maybe cars. Tuesday is books, movies, culture, literature, whatever. Wednesday was finance. We had Rick Santelli. It was an all-star day on The Savage Nation where I initiated a nutrition and health show, one of my favorite. That was a great show for yesterday. Today is going to be a first ever. I don't know how to put it. I'm going to say a reading from the Bible. I mean, I know that that's going to, on one hand, appeal tremendously to a certain small segment of the audience and not appeal to another segment of the audience. But you're going to see how political religion is. Fact, all you got to do is open the newspaper or turn on the TV to see how political religion is when you see that Muslims are blocking the streets in Paris in order to show that they have the power to do whatever they want, to take over French streets, conquer a part of the French territory. You can see this. You can see how political religion really is when you see that the ACLU and other atheistic, anti-American groups in America continue to destroy the Ten Commandments wherever they find it, attack the church with lawsuits whenever they can. And yet, they don't just give Islam a pass. They actually facilitate Islam in America for reasons that only you understand. So that's why I say, when I say we're going to do religion, there's a lot more to it than just that. Now, that leads to some questions today, such as, do you believe in God? How do you know if God exists? Or if you're an atheist, how do you know he doesn't exist? Have you actually seen God act in your life? Why do you have faith in God, or why do you have faith that God doesn't exist? Or what caused you to turn away from God? That's an interesting question. Or turn it around. Are you a former atheist who came to believe in the supernatural or the all-powerful God? What made you change? Now, I want to go from the Bible or God to this thing, which is, I think you can define all of the Bible down to the issue of temptations. Think about it. Virtually everything about the Bible says, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. But it's all about temptation, turning away from temptation. Oscar Wilde wrote, the only way to get rid of temptation is to yield to it. He said, I can resist everything but temptation. He was a great humorist. What is temptation? What does it mean? Tempt, to entice, to do wrong, by promise of pleasure or gain. Temptation, the act of tempting, or the state of being tempted, especially tempted to evil, enticement. Huh. Our entire society is built on that, isn't it? Every movie is enticement, to temptation to evil. Where does it come from as a word? Well, Middle English from Anglo-French, tempter, tentare, from the Latin temptare, to feel or to try. How do you face temptation in your everyday life, we ask? How do you overcome these temptations? And politically, do you believe our current political and social problems stem from an inability to resist temptation? It's an interesting question and certainly worthy of answers here on the Savage Nation today. And I think that that's certainly worth talking about. Here, Deuteronomy, a woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. This is interesting stuff, Deuteronomy. Heavy duty. Heavy duty. Thou shalt not see thy brother's ass or his ox fallen down by the way. You see, everything is in the Annunciation. If a bird's nest chance to be before thee in the way, in any tree or on the ground, with young ones or eggs, and the dam sitting upon the young or upon the eggs, thou shalt not take the dam, meaning the female bird, with the young. Thou shalt in any wise let the dam, meaning the girl bird, go. But the young thou mayest take unto thyself. Now, why would the ancient olive growers who wrote the Bible have such wisdom as to say, don't kill the female of the species? Because they knew that if you did, you'd have no more eggs, schmuck. But the people were so stupid then that they had to have a rule book. So the rule book, the Bible said, okay, if you find a nest on the ground, you can take the egg, you can take the young birds, but you got to put the lady bird back in the nest, or else you'll have no birds left and no eggs. The people were so stupid that if there was no rule book, they would have killed the woman bird. The same today, people are still stupid. So I write the Bible for you. I write the political Bible for you. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with two kinds of seed, lest the fullness of the seed which thou hast sown be forfeited together with the increase of the vineyard. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a mingled stuff, wool and linen together. Thou shalt, see, this is interesting. If a man take a wife, if any man take a wife and go in unto her and hate her, and lay wanton charges against her, and bring up an evil name upon her, and say, I took this woman, and when I came nigh to her, I found not in her the tokens of virginity. See, now I got your attention. Then shall the father of the damsel and her mother take and bring forth the tokens of the damsel's virginity unto the elders of the city in the gate. Oh, please, those old rabbis, you had to bring them a skirt? Ugh, it's very much like Clinton and Lewinsky here. It's already starting to border on the gore with the masseuse now. And the damsel's father shall say unto the elders, I gave my daughter unto this man to wife, and he hateth her. And lo, he hath laid wanton charges, saying, I found not in thy daughter the tokens of virginity. Let's stop for a minute. I know you listen because this is one of the last places you can get real, honest, independent, conservative opinions and unfiltered news. And I want you to get the full impact of the Savage Nation. Go to TRN1.com, become a premium member, and get Savage Live, Savage Archives, and the Savage Podcast at TRN1.com. Click on my picture at TRN1.com today. The teachings of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Yeah, good luck to you. Yeah, you're going to live forever if you read the Bible. See, that's the problem with the whole thing, is that even if you get, you know, still going to drop dead at the end, you don't know what's on the other side. You're taking a gamble. You're gambling. You're just gambling that there's an afterlife and you get a reward. And what's the reward? Since you don't know about it anyway. You see, there's no win here. That's the terrible thing. You see, no matter how you twist it, no matter how religious you are, it still doesn't matter. Because you're still full of doubt about the next world. I don't care who you are. If you're not, then you're a real lunatic. If you're sure that there's another world with a gold chair because you were good here, oh, my God, you probably voted for Jimmy Carter. And you're probably a planet-saving shopper Republican, a Republican planet-saving shopper. Imagine that if you got this. That's oxymoronic, a Republican. No, there'd be Republican planet-saving shoppers. Maybe good, like, if you're looking for, like, dates, like eHarmony. Why don't you plug that into your eHarmony account, planet-saving shopper seeks same. You can meet over, like, a bag together. You go buy shopping bags together. Can you imagine that? I don't know how that works, because I came from another age. We didn't do that. It was like on the Natch. You met someone in the street and talked to them, or whatever. Now it's like, how do you do this by computer? I don't get it. Planet-saving shopper. See, that's the problem. Is when you really get into the whole thing about death and dying, that's what it really comes down to. You fear, you see, like a bad politician makes you fear that the country's dying, right? And a good politician makes you feel the country's getting better and you're going to live in and everything, your children are going to have a good life. Obama, you know, is the opposite. You know he's killing America as sure as you're standing here, ruining it, inherited a $1 trillion deficit, made it $4 trillion. Surrounded by corruption unlike any ever seen in American history. Never before seen. One corruption scandal after another covered up by the vermin in the media. So you feel like the country's dying because it is. That's all. Now you come to your own personal fate. And so that becomes an issue. So let's say you've towed the line, you've done the best you could, you've only cheated, lied, and stolen a little along the way. Not big. And you figure, all right, so you're not as good as you wanted to be, but you're better than you could have been done, certainly you didn't do. Or you're recovering this or that, and you think you're going to be rewarded for it. But what if you don't get rewarded for it? What if you could have just continued to be bad? You ever think about that? What if you just could have, and the same end would have happened? You would have lived the same exact time period, suffered the same fate. What I mean, yeah, the wages of sin are death. Great. And what are the wages of righteousness are? Death. Same thing. Good, good, goody two-shoes, still death and dying in front of a curtain alone in a rest home being beaten about the head and neck by some illegal alien who tries to take the small change your children bring you. What's the good of it? So you don't know which way to turn. So that's all. So you indulge yourself. You eat too much. You drink too much, and you get a headache that you get paid for. That's immediately the wages of sin and death. You overeat. You overdrink. You get sick. So that God immediately punishes you. So therefore, you don't know what to do if you're an average person and not that religious. You don't know which way to turn. Fundamentally, America is not a religious country. God-fearing, yes, but look at all the sluts in Hollywood that wear crosses. I mean, let's start with that just for a minute. Please, I don't mean to be disrespectful of the symbol. Have you ever seen any of these, like, freak shows with crosses? Cross this. I never saw anything like it. Every degenerate in Hollywood has a big cross on their neck. So what does that mean? I mean, inside they're pure? Because they wear the symbol of it? I don't get that part of it. At the end of it, we don't know really what's waiting on the other side. But here's the thing that I've always come to. No matter how much I read the Bible, it comes back to the same thing, which is this. Let's say you are rewarded. Now, let's take the other side. There is God. There is a judgment day. And you go before him. Well, all right, come before. What are you doing? Your talk shows. What else? You did this. All right, it wasn't so bad. You could have done better. You could have been a dentist and played the accordion. You could have stayed in the Bronx and whatever. You would have died at 14. But all right, you went on. You had to be a big mouth. You wanted to do it your way. All right, it wasn't so bad. I'll tell you what, I'm going to split the difference with you. You're only going to spend 1 million years in purgatory. Then you'll come back as a toy poodle in San Francisco in 1989. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Ding-a-ding-ding-dong-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Boom-ba-da, ba-do-ba-do-ba-day. Whoa, life could be a dream. If I could take you up in paradise up above.
Now here are some of the headlines from around the world. We have perhaps the laziest president in history. He needs another vacation after his last vacation. He's back from golfing, swimming, movies, ice cream in Martha's Vineyard. Worked a full 4-day week, I guess. And now he's on to another vacation for the Labor Day weekend at Camp David. This is while unemployment jumped to 9.6%. This is why the economy lost 283,000 jobs during summer months. This is with the summer ending with an economic pothole. This is with the labor secretary declaring there are no jobs out there. This is with the treasury head rushing back from vacation looking for other jobs packages. This is why we have only a few months to go into the largest tax hikes in history. And this is a president, as I said, who needs another vacation to get over his last vacation. Now, these stories and more can be found on michaelsavage.com as usual and other places where I find them. But let's take a look at Michael Savage and see what's up there for reading edification. This is a blowout. This you won't believe. Mosque investor was a terror contributor. That's right. This is from NYWTV. Hisham El-Zanate sent money to the Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development, which funneled money to Hamas that was used to conduct terrorist operations. He's one of the mosque investors, Mayor Bloomberg. What do you have to say about that? So I was thinking about no air conditioning, the age of cars with no air conditioning. Do you remember cars like that? My father had a DeSoto with a roof rack. And every summer would come and we'd pack the car up to go to the Catskill Mountains and load the car. We stayed in little cottages. They called them bungalows, but they were wonderful. The whole family went in one room. It had one toilet, one bedroom, one little kitchenette. And somehow my mother could still knock out four meals a day. I never saw anything like it. She did it with four burners. And all your neighbors from the same building went up to the same little bungalow colony, and they rented cottages. You saw all your friends from all year were with you, and all your friends' mothers were there. So you were totally in your own world. But now you were playing Indians in the woods. It was gorgeous. And he'd pack the DeSoto with the roof rack. He was so meticulous, my father, God rest his soul. It took him hours to pack that car. It was like the Conestoga wagon going west. It was a 70-mile ride, but to me, it was the grapes of wrath every summer. I loved it. You'd get out of school a couple of weeks early. My father would be in the street with the ropes on the rack. And he had special moving blankets, and I thought that was very impressive. Like, other guys would use regular bed blankets. My father had friends in the moving business. He had the quilts. And by the way, they were very nice to lie in under a tree, incidentally. Even when you were, like, prepubescent, they were nice. But even afterwards, when they had another meaning, they became even better. And he would put these over the furnishings, and then Tippy the dog was put in the front seat for the ride, the 2.5-hour ride up in the heat, no air conditioning. And I think even if we had air conditioning, he wouldn't have permitted us to put it on. He wouldn't let it on. No air conditioning, it's bad for you. You'd hear things like that. I mean, he wouldn't let me put a radio on when we went to work. I told you those stories. If I was driving into work with him, a grim, it was like a black and white movie with him. You talk about why I'm still working. I don't have to work. I work because the work ethic was beaten into me where I don't know anything else. Forgive me, I'm a slave. I know nothing but work. That's what the work ethic is. It's slavery. I should be like you, taking drugs, going to doctors and be on 17 medications and think I'm happy because I'm going to Provence to eat chocolate and drink bad wine. So they didn't use air conditioning. Many of them didn't believe in it. They didn't believe in anything that we believe in today. And we get in the car and Tippy, and he taped the door. So the Tippy the dog, the Par Chow dog, his arms would be over the side for the whole ride up so he wouldn't scratch the finish. I don't know how he figured these things out, but he taped like a certain thing on the outside of the door so the Tippy's paws could be out and it wouldn't scratch the door. And the whole way the monster, the face was outside, scaring cars all the way on Route 17. Every car that went by, they looked the other way. They saw this ferocious-looking killer animal leaning out of the window. Well, those were the days. Those were the days. Those are beautiful days. But they didn't have air conditioning is the point. I don't know how people live without air conditioning. Did you ever live without air conditioning? We all lived in one apartment. My grandmother, three children, the two parents. We all slept in one room. And somehow we survived. How is that possible? How is it possible that I was able to go on and achieve anything? I mean, by current psychology and by current government edict, a child is not only supposed to have his own room to himself in order to grow up healthfully and to become a productive citizen, the child needs an entire zip code to themselves, never mind their own bedroom. Not only their own house, but their own zip code for independent learning and to grow up independently of the parents. They need their own zip code. I grew up in one room. Even with a grandmother, I loved having grandma around. She spoke to me in a foreign language I didn't understand, but today I dream in that language. Would you believe this? This is a true story. The woman spoke to me in a foreign language that I didn't understand the word of, but I knew every word she was saying. I can't speak it. I can't read it today, but I dream in this language to this day. So maybe if I get knocked on the head, I'll start speaking in Russian. I don't really know. It might come in handy someday if I go to a Russian bakery. It's a terrible thing. I wish Russians had good food. It killed everybody I knew. The worst food on the earth is Russian food. I have no idea why anybody would go to a Russian restaurant other than for the nice people and the good times. But the food is salty, contaminated. Who eats caviar? Who knows better? Caviar are fish eggs, right? Cholesterol rich and the fish is toxic. Where do you think the fish come from that they get the caviar from? The carp, for example. The carp probably comes from the Black Sea, which was polluted when Moses was walking on the earth. It was already polluted from lead batteries dropped here by the travelers from Mars. That's where they dumped lead batteries, was in the Dead Sea. That's where it became the Dead Sea. It used to be like Lake Ronkonkoma. The chief of CAIR says the Tea Party is fueling Islamophobia. Is that interesting? So, who do you trust? An Arab front group or a Tea Party? Make your choice. Offshore platform explodes in the Gulf of Mexico. If you haven't signed the petition yet, you can still sign a petition to Hillary Clinton to get my name off that list of murderers and terrorists and join 87,000 other loyal Americans. There are death threats over the anti-Obama billboard in Springfield, Missouri. It says, voted Obama? Embarrassed yet? Yeah, I guess they don't like that down there. Chicago police chief criticized for a gang summit. Now, this is an interesting story. There's a Ferrari recall of their new 458 Italia. It's a gorgeous car. I actually looked at one. Six of them have burst into flames. To me, this symbolizes the death of Western civilization. You hearing? When a Ferrari is recalled, you know it's all over in manufacturing in the West. That's all I can say. Finally, on MichaelSavage.com, Madoff investors oppose payments to bankruptcy trustee. That's right. The crook, who is supposed to be the neutral trustee for the Madoff billions, wants $34 million for 120 days of work. How's that for a trustee lawyer? All that on MichaelSavage.com.
Savage.